We want to read verse 12 through verse 20 for our text today. Preaching on the message we've entitled, Until Christ Be Formed. Until Christ Be Formed. Galatians 4, verse 12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. I find in this passage of Scripture at least four references concerning Paul's visiting, his preaching, his teaching, is writing the churches of Galatia, the churches that are involved in the writing of this epistle. In verse number 13, he says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. There he references when he took the gospel to these churches for the first time. First missionary journey that took him in their area. Verse number 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I see in verse number 16 a time when Paul had revisited them and had spoken, had preached to them, and his message was not received all that favorably by these churches that are involved in the writing of this epistle. I believe this is in reference to his visiting them a second time on his second missionary journey. You can find that in Acts chapter 18, verse 23, where he revisited the churches that would have been a part of this writing. In verse number 20, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. As he says, I desire to be present with you now, I believe he's addressing the epistle that he's writing. The now is the time in which he was writing this epistle to them, and they would have received it and would have read it. So that would have been a third time that Paul would have approached the Galatians. And I find in looking at Paul's third missionary journey that indeed he did visit most of these Galatian churches again. So there are four times there where we can find in the scriptural record that Paul preached, Paul taught, Paul wrote, Paul contacted the churches that he is writing to in the book of Galatians. And he says in verse number 19, my little children, he calls them his children. Of course, that's his children in the Lord. Harkening back to the first time he preached the gospel to them and they were saved and they became children of God and he became like a spiritual father to them. My little children, of whom I travail in pain again. I travail in pain again, repeatedly, again, and again, and again, and again. I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. And not only does he say, I travail in pain again, but I travail in pain until Christ be formed in you. There are four things in our reading this morning that Paul sets forth before us as his doing repeatedly, as his setting forth. He was going to continue these things until Christ be formed in them. First thing is found in verse number 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Until Christ be formed in you, the truth must be preached. And it must be preached again, and it must be preached again, and it must be continually preached until Christ is formed within you. Paul references how he had preached the truth unto them, and they had made him like an enemy. That's a common tactic. When people don't like the truth, when they don't like the message that is delivered, they vilify the messenger. They make an enemy, they identify as an enemy the messenger that God sent. But in spite of the fact that they had vilified Paul, he says, I must preach the truth until Christ be formed within you. Not only do God's people vilify the messenger of God, but children vilify the messenger of God. I thought of a Bible story that you never hear taught. You don't ever hear preaching or teaching on it. But it has to do with the prophet Elisha. And the prophet Elisha was going about doing his business following on the heels of Elijah. And a bunch of children began to mock him. A bunch of children began to laugh and make fun of him. They called him Old Baldy. Old Baldy. By the grace of God, that's one thing I've never had thrown at me. God's always blessed me with hair. Looks like he's going to bless me with hair to the end, which might not be that long ago or to go. But we don't hear about that story. When they considered the prophet of God the adversary, as though he had the plague, that he cursed those children. And God sent two she-bears to rip into pieces 42 of those children. There's a lot of lessons to be learned there. When children vilify the messenger of God, what God always reminds me of is they're depraved. They're just depraved sinners. They're showing their depravity. When they hate the message that the messenger brings, they vilify the messenger. And it's no wonder they're just depraved sinners. Can't do otherwise without the Spirit of God working. But another thing the Lord reminds me of, when children vilify the messenger of God, not only are they depraved, but they've been trained and they've been taught and they've been programmed that way at home. So it hurts the messenger when children vilify him. But he remembers they're just depraved sinners. They need the saving grace of God to work in their hearts. And the problem really isn't with them. The problem is with mom and dad at home, what they're saying. Children typically just learn behaviors. But in spite of the fact that they considered Paul an enemy, in spite of the fact they vilified him to justify their refusal, their hatred for the message, in spite of the fact that this is constantly occurring, Paul said, "I must preach the truth." They can get angry at and vilify the messenger, but I must still deliver the message, is Paul's attitude. It's the message of salvation, according to verse number 13 on his first trip through Galatia. It's the preaching of the word in season and out of season, as he instructed Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It is the message that sanctifies. Sanctify them through thy truth. John 17, 17. Thy word is truth. So until Christ be formed, the truth must be preached. Verse number 17 of our text. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. Paul's talking about those who were teaching and bringing error into the churches of Galatia. The effect that these false teachers and what have you were having upon the churches of Galatia. And they were zealously affecting the churches of Galatia. And they would exclude those people, those brethren, from the exposure to the Apostle Paul. They would bring in their damnable heresies, and that's what the book of Galatians really is all about, the bringing back into Judaism and work salvation and circumcision and what have you. They would have Paul eliminated from preaching and teaching. They're being exposed to him. So the second thing that I think Paul is saying he must do until Christ be formed is zeal must be tempered. Zeal must be tempered. Until Christ be formed, he must preach the truth, irregardless of how it's received. But until Christ be formed, zeal must be tempered. Zeal must be tested and tried. There's a bad kind of zeal. There's a zeal that's not good in its result. In Romans chapter 10, Paul said, Israel has a zeal, for God, for the things of God. They had a great zeal, but it was not according to knowledge. So that was a bad kind of zeal. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, rather they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits until Christ is formed within you. Zeal must be tempered, it must be tested, it must be tried, it must be examined, it must be looked at if it's the right kind of zeal. It must be identified when it's the wrong kind of zeal. In 3 John, verse number 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Amen. Beloved, don't follow that which is evil. Amen. Try the spirits. Don't have a zeal that's bad in its effect, or that's wrong. Don't have a zeal in bad things and in bad ways. See, we're living the day and time where as long as somebody seems zealous, as long as they seemed a little stirred, as long as they seem sincere, as long as they seem serious, that's all we look for. We've got to look for more. The Lord looks for more. The Lord looks at the heart, not just the actions. He looks at the heart. And we must always be testing and trying the zeal of those who might have zeal in the wrong direction. We must constantly be trying the spirits, because God's looking for more than zeal. Verse number 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He identifies them as his little children, not just because they were his children in the Lord and they had been led to the Lord by his first preaching the gospel to them, but I believe he identifies them as children, as not yet mature. And his responsibility of preaching the truth until they're matured, until Christ be formed in them. That zeal must be tested and tried and looked at and examined before somebody's given that stamp of approval. And he says here in verse number 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth. He identifies them as his little children. And then he says he travails like a mother in labor over them. Truth must be preached until Christ be formed. Zeal must be tempered until Christ be formed. And pains must be taken until Christ is formed. Sometimes the ministry is hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's a great labor. Sometimes it's like going through the birth pains of children when you're charged with ministering to God's people. But Paul said, until Christ be formed, I'm going to take those pains. I travail in birth again. I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. I travail in birth pains again and until Christ be formed in you. He wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to let comfort lead him to step aside, to walk away, until Christ be formed. Truth must be preached, zeal must be tempered, pains must be taken. He was going to travail in birth pains until Christ was formed. Then in verse number 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Until Christ be formed in you, zeal must be tempered. It must be tested. It must be tried. It must be examined. It must be judged. But on the other hand, until Christ be formed within you, zeal must be maintained. There is a zeal that is good. There is a zeal that's pleasing to the Lord. There is a zeal that God's men need to have. There's a zeal that God's people need to have towards the truth. Amen. Until Christ be formed, zeal must be maintained. We must be zealous concerning the truth, concerning the things of God. Paul said in this passage of Scripture, verse number 18, zeal must be maintained not only when I am present with you. They needed to be zealous concerning the truth until Christ was formed within them. But they needed to be zealous not just when Paul was there. Not just when the guard dog's at the end of the chain barking. But even in his absence, zeal must be maintained. It is good to be zealous in a good thing. I think that's what's at the heart of 2 Corinthians 11:2, where Paul said, be patient with me, for I'm jealous over you. I'm jealous over you. I want to present you to Christ one day as a chaste virgin. He was zealous about his work. So until Christ be formed in you, truth must be preached, zeal must be tempered, pains must be taken, and zeal must be maintained. What's he speaking about, though? What's he speaking about? Christ formed in you. Truth must be preached, zeal must be tempered, pains must be taken, zeal must be maintained until Christ be formed in you. What's he talking about? Is Christ not already in them? Yes, he is. He's in every true believer. He's in every true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. Our churches are also identified as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says to the Colossians that Christ was in them. Christ was in them, the hope of glory. Over in chapter 3, verse number 11, again he says to the Colossians and to us, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. 1 John chapter 3. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So Christ is in us. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit if we're truly saved. We walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of our Lord, dwells within us. So what's he talking about here concerning these four points? Applying them to that thought, until Christ be formed in you. Well, I'll tell you simply, he's talking about something that lies between justification and glorification. He's talking about something that lies between those two things. Do you know what lies between justification and glorification? What lies between justification and glorification is sanctification. And that's what Paul is talking about here. I must preach the truth, no matter how it's received, until Christ be formed. I must teach that zeal must be tempered and guarded against false zeal arising, till Christ be formed. I must take pains until Christ be formed. The right kind of zeal must be maintained until Christ be formed. He's talking about a work that takes place, supposed to take place in the lives and in the hearts of every believer. Amen. Becoming Christ-like. Amen. Christ-like. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about sanctification. We're talking about our being separated, our being distinguished, our being consecrated, our being dedicated to God. We're talking about sanctification, or ultimately we're talking about Christ-likeness. People have the least interest of all in the day and time in which we live. They have the least interest of all in the doctrine of sanctification. They don't want to hear it. They don't want it preached. They don't want to be reminded of it. But Paul was determined with the Galatians, until Christ was formed within them, until they had that Christ-likeness, that work of sanctification displayed within their life, he was going to keep on preaching the truth. He was going to keep on tempering zeal. He was going to keep on taking the pains necessary. He was going to keep on maintaining zeal towards the people of God and the things of God. It's hard to find the attitude anymore that says, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. Paul is writing to several churches in the area of Galatia. And he had invested a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. And he is determining that he's going to continue to be faithful and true in these things until the work of sanctification is brought to the fruition of Christ-likeness in their life. I have to say it not just because it makes a point, but because it is true, and it is true by my own observation, that most people who name the name of Christ do not have the I want to be like Christ burden on their heart, but it seems as though they have the I want to be like the world attitude upon their hearts. Which is pleasing to the Lord. I want to be like Christ. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. The truth must be preached. Zeal must be tempered. Pains must be taken. Zeal must be maintained until Christ is formed in you. Christ-likeness. That's the work of sanctification. Remember the three A's of sanctification. First, there is the appearance that displays sanctification. Then there is the actions that display sanctification. Then there is the attitude that displays sanctification. Christ being formed within us is the desire, it is the end result of sanctification. It's becoming Christ-like. And oh, how we ought to have that desire to be like Christ. And when we have that work of sanctification being evidenced in our life, it'll be displayed by our appearance, our actions, our attitude. I used to have a district manager in St. Louis. He didn't like our using the term attitude. He didn't like us talking about, well, we need to fire them, they've got a bad attitude. He used to argue, you can't take a picture of an attitude. He wanted us to focus on behavior. I got it. But I'm here to tell you, a bad attitude can be snapped on a camera. Somebody has a bad attitude, you can see it all over them. I see a lot of bad attitudes here today. But that's all right. Truth must be preached. Zeal must be tempered. Pains must be taken. Zeal must be maintained until Christ is formed inside of us. Christ-likeness. When you look at your appearance, when you look at your actions, when you look at your attitude, do you see Christ? You should, if you're saved. always have the thought that come to my mind, it could be or not. Because wanting to be like Christ should come natural to a truly born again child of God. Because a truly born again child of God has the Holy Spirit within them. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. They have the Holy Spirit within them if they're truly saved. And Christ will be working the work of sanctification within their lives until Christ-likeness is formed. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.